You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are sharing great stories for Hispanic Heritage Month this month, September 15th through October 15th. We have a great story to share with you about a long ministry, a long-serving ministry, and I'm excited to share that with you. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Carl Heimer. He served with Isleta Lutheran Mission for over 40 years. Pastor Heimer, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, I'm looking forward to learning your story and sharing it with our listeners today. As we'll dig into the story of the Isleta Lutheran Mission in just a little bit, let's start with your story and where your story began. It's quite the story. Where were you born and where did you grow up and how did that lead to where you've been serving for over 40 years?
Well, I was born and actually been there till I was 18 after U.S. Naval Base Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. My father was a former Swede, and he was stationed at the naval base as a civilian. And I actually was born there in 1940. But immediately after I was born, actually, we ended up going to across the lake that we had and lived in Caimanera, which is the kind of not only birth that I was having, but the actually unique situation of being there till I was 5 years old. So I was kind of put into a condition where I was more raised with the Spanish than I was with the English until I became five years old, and we moved into the U.S. Naval Base, and then where I stayed until I was 18, graduated from high school there, William T. Sampson High School. And it was kind of a unique beginning that I had, and it was wonderful that I was able to get into a position where actually, in this community right now, the armed forces are very prevalent, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But for right now, just to let you know that my beginning was at the U.S. Naval Base, but at the real beginning in terms of my language skills and stuff was in Cuba and Caimanera, a little place just next to the Naval Base. That's where I originated, and that's where everything began from my point of view.
So then what brought you to the mainland United States? How did you get into serving in the church and seminary training and all of that? How did that all play out after you left Cuba?
Well, actually, I started out by having the opportunity to go to Concordia Junior College in Austin, Texas. And one of the ones who married, one of the officers that was married to my sister there at the Naval Base, got me into Concordia Junior College in Austin, and that's really where I started out my education. From there, I went on to Texas Lutheran College, where I met my wife, Jeanette, and that's where the next part of my life began in terms of finishing there with a Bachelor of Arts and going on to Springfield, Illinois, to begin my work as a pastor, and that's really where it kind of all happened, and I ended up with a vicarage in Miami, which was one that gave me the opportunity to work with many Cubans. Did real well there at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Miami, and then from there I went on to back to the seminary and graduated from Springfield, Illinois, there at that seminary. And we went ahead and I got, of course, my interest was in Hispanic work. And that's one of the questions that you'll ask. And that's actually the reason by which I have really been working with the Hispanic work ever since. And I wrote my master's there and began the task of the most important, I guess, the thing that I had most important was Matthew 28:19-20. That really struck me. I used it in all my places when I went around at Springfield, because the seminary, you got a chance to go out and do that. It's Matthew 28:19-20. That's really a very important passage that I have had. Matthew 28:19-20 is to go, and you therefore baptize all nations, teaching them what he has commanded, and lo, he will be with me to the very end of the age. And it was just one of the things that I think it was important that I did that, especially among the Hispanic, where my mother was Cuban. He was born in Cienfuegos in Cuba itself. Married my father, and as a Swede, which he was, and ended up in a position where I actually had that in my life, in my desire to just do what I felt God wanted me to do, and that to go and do that work that God inspired me to do through his word.
You certainly had quite the adventure in terms of education, from high school on the naval base in Cuba to college in Texas, seminary in Illinois, a vicarage in Florida. You got to travel around quite a bit. Tell us about your connection to God's word and the church from childhood on. What was church and God's word like for you as a child?
Well, first of all, it's kind of unusual because the U.S. Naval Base, it was a Protestant. We had different chaplains at different times. And so my Lutheran education really did not begin until actually when I came over to Austin, I think, at Concordia. But my actual love for God, listening to the chaplains and everybody there, I got a really different perspective, kind of interest in even working with Baptists, Pentecostals. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. We were all Protestants. And so I didn't really get more of the connection of being a Lutheran and understanding the beautiful message of, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift of God. It's something that came really afterward. The beginning stages were just plain old reading the Bible, going to the Sunday school there, listening to all the different flavors of our faith in terms of a conservative way of thinking. And it was just one of those things that I got to be also involved in the scouting program. I actually became the first Eagle Scout in the U.S. Naval Base in Guantanamo, but it brought me to the fact that some of those things brought me closer to the opportunity to actually be of the point of interest, because I remember when there was nobody, and I was a teenager then, that could do the service. You know, we camped out a lot. So I remember doing that, and that kind of awoke an interest in the fact of being a pastor, someone who can actually get up and lead the people, lead the kids in worship like that. But the original relationship my God has been through the chapel there and through the interest of the Sunday school that we had at the U.S. Naval Base. My faith really was very much part of my life. My mother, who had been formerly a Catholic, I was baptized there at the Naval Base. And so as a baby, and so my mother always prayed with us and gave us a real long message on the fact that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. All those things were part of my background in the Naval Base with my mom. And my father died when I was 10. So actually, a lot of the people of faith, the men of faith, were armed forces people. And that was something that I think was really, they were like my father at that time. And as being a scout leader and a scout person, I got a lot of the influence of those who were actually the leaders. And I really think there's one thing that's important that people just don't realize, and the scouting movement. It came from Baden Powell, who was an Army life in general. And I remember the things that really helped made my life a little bit more by putting rules and guidance in it. And I remember learning, of course, being trustworthy and loyal and helpful and friendly and courteous and kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. So not only my faith, but also some guidelines on how to treat people, which actually led me a lot toward my ministry at Atlanta and my life, because I just remember the honesty of having those things as important, to be trustworthy, to be loyal, to be helpful, to be friendly. All those things I just got to say are part of, I think, an educational factor that helped me toward the ministry that I've been doing now for actually over 50 years, because I was 11 years in Cleveland, Ohio, working there in the mission field in the inner city with more Puerto Rican than anything else. But there was, of course, we had other Hispanics there too.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Carl Heimer, has served with the Isleta Lutheran Mission for over 40 years. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment, learning more about the Isleta Lutheran Mission right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Carl Heimer. He served with the Isleta Lutheran Mission for over 40 years. Pastor Heimer, what a story. You had your education and your connection to the church and how the Lord provided for you and providing that interest and that in serving others. Where did your interest in serving the Hispanic community grow and then lead you to Isleta?
Well, actually, because I was a Cuban, of course, and my mother was Cuban, and because I was also living early years in Cuba itself before I actually became a little bit older to be part of the American or the English system there at the Naval Base, all those things were part of the kind of interest and helped me grow a little bit towards working with the Hispanic and the challenges that I had in trying to see how I could bring the gospel. I used to have these little, when the Naval Base, they give you these little New Testaments, and I got into the habit of passing and giving those out as those are good for soldiers and stuff like that. So I learned that kind of system of wanting to use that as a tool, but also the factor of having to bring people to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that kind of made that beginning interest to be among those around me. And of course, my training in terms of my family and everything else just gave me the interest of bringing it to, of course, the Hispanic people. And that's one of the things that I think is important. My name is Carl Philip Heimer. I believe it got me into the factor of the Lutheran Church and Lutheran Synod, of course, being German. And sometimes, you know, there's a certain prejudice that people have with other foreign countries. I've noticed that sometimes it's natural. But my being Carl Philip Heimer got me into the Lutheran Church, Lutheran Synod. I even learned German very well, and I even use it all the time. And like the need to be engaged to sleep to mine and all the my Lebensfeed, you know, I really think that my name helped a lot with getting into the Lutheran Church, but there's fit in and relate well to the people. And it filled with the opportunity for me to bring the Hispanic work that I felt part of my original desire to bring the gospel to my family type individuals, of those that I could speak the language and be able to deal with the German, the English, and those around me, and try to get the message of going out and baptizing all nations. So that's part of the whole process, I think, that God put me into to give me this opportunity to be working among the Hispanic.
So tell us about Isleta Lutheran Mission Human Care. How did it start, and what were the services that you've been able to provide through Isleta over the years?
Yeah, actually, it didn't start with human care, but it started actually being, when I first got there, we had a name for it. It was Centro Cristiano de Isleta, but it sounded so much like Pentecostal, but Centro Cristiano de Isleta. I changed it. I went and got it to San Pablo Lutheran Church, because San Pablo, of course, is St. Paul in Spanish, San Pablo Lutheran Church. And also the fact that we had the place where the district, of course, it used to be Colorado District, but it was changed about the time I got there to Rocky Mountain District. And the whole idea of what the district wanted to do there, it bought 4.2 acres, 15 buildings, all kinds of places that were formerly used by the Pentecostal Church. It was in a Roman Catholic area, and it was one of the challenges that I think happened very much was that it came a real challenge because it was near the border. And there had been an interest by Zion Lutheran Church originally to help across the border and work with the missions across the border. It was one of the churches that was helped develop through the local churches that were here. And so the whole aspect of working that area became a real challenge, but it was the job of the Colorado District or the Lutheran Church, Missouri City, in terms of it's called Rocky Mountain District. And it's what actually was the way it got started. They bought the place. It was originally a place to teach people to be pastors by the Pentecostal Church. And I was brought in and dealt with a completely almost hostile in many ways, because we were living in the church over there at the mission or right there, and we received calls at 2 a.m, 3. It was one of those things that you couldn't tell the caller ID or anything like that. It was just one of those challenges that was quite right for us to do and be there. That's how it all got started. I was put there by the Rocky Mountain District, and I was given an assistant, John Williamson, and he was my manager or administrator, and I was the pastor, director of the program itself. And that's how it all got started back in 1982, and that was the first way in which we began to work there at the mission itself. And it was called at that time, I changed it to San Pablo Lutheran Church because St. Paul, you know, San Pablo sounds more Catholic, or at least it's biblical, but it's not like Centro Cristiano, which is obviously a kind of Pentecostal type of thought process. So that's the beginning of how we got started there. And the challenges there was really serious in terms of the district wanting to have a school. And I experienced having schools, Lutheran schools in Cleveland, Ohio. And I know that in order to have a school, you have to have Lutheran at the place. And you have to really be in an area where the that is a way in which we can recruit other Lutherans, or at least start out with those individuals who would be good Lutherans and at the place. But the reality is the district wanted a school, and believe me, we did everything we could to try to do the impossible situation, and we ended up not having to deal with that. We tried it and worked that possibility out. But in the process, we had to survive, and we then went into all kinds of different ways in which we really realistically brought the mission to the community itself as needed. And so that kind of is the beginning flow, but continuation is something now that I think would be interesting to know how the ministry then got expanded through areas that were needed in the area. And that's how Servant Event, which right now happened, got started, because I guess the interest of all the different places, Minnesota's or whatever, they wanted to have a way of coming to and see about how they can learn about the mission and be part of it. And so all these things were the process of later on trying to go through the ministry of is Leva and what is Leva needed. And so, and that's really where I think we became then where we are right now, dealing with a format that is very important, and that for the local ministry, because Lutherans, I think we're very intelligent. Let's face it this way. We're brain-oriented. So I think it's important that we see that the fact that there's a real challenge for us to really understand the ministry and logically go through all the process of trying to bring the gospel to people. But the most important realization is breaking the barriers of where people are in that community and across the border. And so the effort that really was one of changing lives to simple acts of kindness. And that is how all the ways in which we did ministry across the border and at the mission itself became so important for us, that people don't care to know what you know. I mean, that knowing is important, but the people just don't really, by just telling them about the catechism and whatever it is, they're not going to really listen until they see that there is a genuine care for the person itself. So that became so important that it grows into giving out food on Saturday, for example. We gave out over 200 people every Saturday. And it doesn't matter whether it's Christmas Day or whatever day it was, that or raining or snowing or whatever. Not too much, no prayer. But anyway, the whole way of ministry was that way of dealing with it. And one other thing I think is important for the mission field. Whenever you start doing anything, it really doesn't, the idea of buying 4.2 acres and buildings and like that, it just really binds you a lot. But it was the way we did it. And I guess there was a real need for that. But the way I think I worked on starting missions across a border was through house churches. We just decided that we're going to go into this house and we're going to do the teaching of the Word of God. And that was a significant way of helping churches across the border. And also by our servant event, whenever there was a need for anything, servants would be going back and getting the education they got by seeing and being involved in the whole process. So it was very educational for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Catholic Churches coming down. But it also was part of the whole reason why we were able to manage financially and caring for not only the Isleta Lutheran Mission, but across our border, where we started several churches, and it goes as far as Chihuahua and also a little town called San Lorenzo. We actually had servant women come with us and do work in Chique Chique when the Tarahumaras came. And one of the interesting things I remember very well, because I played the trumpet when I was younger, is when I did the bringing people to come and eat with us. So I played the trumpet. They'd never heard of it. They didn't even know what the trumpet was all about. So anyway, it was kind of interesting to work among that kind of a process that was part of the whole system of working at the place. So it's not just the Guadalupe mission. It's also across the border in Juarez. Also, as far as the Tikwa Indian, Tarahumara Indian, and also we had the different places where we started with a little town called San Lorenzo. And there's also one other place that is across the border over Redeemer Lutheran Church in New Mexico, where we got some of the, actually, I don't know if you all see the familiar part, but we were able to work with the process of getting help by all the different means of people sending all kinds of things like food and things like that to help with this mission field that existed. And that, of course, is part of the process of having all different churches and the kind of work that helped develop that place was because of all the support that is led to our mission, San Pablo Lutheran Church, and the missions across the border received from all of you, all out there who really prayed for us and helped us in many different ways. And the orphan grain train is one of the individual areas that are people that supported and continues to support the mission field. So I covered a lot of territory here. So I'm hoping that maybe you could see the entire way in which the church has worked. It is not just a one individual situation. It's many hands, many prayers, many of the work that different district of the Lutheran Church Reserve Senate had. So,
our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Carl Heimer. He served with Isleta Lutheran Mission for over 40 years. Pastor Heimer, we are all out of time. Thank you so much for sharing this great story with us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.